During this morning's discussion, we're talking about Banyati, and about Atta Banyat and Sata Banyat. I didn't quite understand that, and I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about that.
It's the meaning. And Sata is a sound, the meaning of the sound, and the meaning of the appearance. How do you know that this is what it is? By shape and form.
By shape and form. And
that is Atta.
Okay.
Banyati.
Atta Banyati.
And Sata, the sound, which represents the meaning of whatever you are talking about.
Do you mean the word that I'm
the
talking
word,
about?
The sound is Sata. But Banyati is what it make known as this or that by
okay.
different sound, different tones.
Right.
And the word can be written also.
Yes.
But when it's Sata, it's the spoken.
Okay. Is that right? Sata is the spoken word.
Sata means sound.
Sata means sound. Okay. And if it's the Atta, as you were saying, that's the...
Atta.
So, like
Atta.
Glass is the spoken, the Sada
Banyati,
and without naming it, you know
right.
that's this shaped form.
Yes.
That's glass, that's Atta.
And that's Atta, and that comes from seeing, from visual.
From visual or touch or anything, depends.
Yeah. Even memory.
Even if you're blind, you touch the, or you say table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the word table is Sada Banyati, but through that body sense, that concept which is thought about through the body sense is the Atta. So it doesn't have to be visible object. It can be...
It's the shape and form of...
Not through the body sense, but based
on the body sense, yeah.
Based on the body sense.
Right. Isn't it a
other sound?
Or
different sound?
No, I'm saying that for us, with
Atta
when
Banyat.
I talk, when we point to the glass, it's based on seeing.
Yes.
But for a blind person, it's based on touch. So the meaning that is got from the touch, the thinking that follows the touch, that's Atta, and the word glass, because the blind person can also use the word glass.
Can it be even through the nose and the
yes.
smell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can be Atta Banyat and
yes.
Sata Banyat.
Yes.
When we don't use any word to represent it.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Like the smell of mango before you
right.
say it's mm. mango, you know that it's mango.
Atta
Banyat.
And Achan, but when we use the word without only in the mind, because the mind has also words. When I think about the word glass.
That is Banyati from the sound, and the appearance of the sound is different. So what it make known as this or that is Banyati. When I say mango, you think of what? And when I say orange, you think differently. So the sound makes it known as this and that differently.
So when it's in the mind, it's only you only call it Banyati.
Sanya. Remember, and citta, experience, is the chief of experiencing an object, and the other depends on different cetasikas, like sanya, remember, and mark. So when it's marked, you think about that. And that is depending on what doorway.
Yes. So if it was from the eye door, it would be...
Shape and form.
Shape and form. And it was from the... What have we got
body
left?
Sense.
The body sense. It would be from...
When there is seeing, why do you think of body sense?
Pardon?
When it's seeing, why do you think of body sense?
I'm changing from seeing to body sense.
For example, in the case of blind people, even they have Atta Banyati and Sata Banyati. They experience Atta in the sense through the body. What it is
then
through the body.
It's known as something like soft or hard, as cake or rice
right.
or what?
So that's Atta Banyati?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
What, yeah.
No sound.
No sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's based on whether or not there's sound or sight. Or let's take smell, which is easier because you're not going to touch smell.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's smell, then it's atta when...
Before the word.
Before the word comes to mind.
Yeah.
Just before mark.
Sorry, just one...
The smell, you can tell what smell is.
Right.
From
memory of it.
Yes, of...
Of the smell.
Different smells.
A different smell.
Yes, this smell, that smell. So
yes. Yeah. So there's the memory of that particular smell will come to mind.
And that is atta. Without sound, it is atta.
Okay, and with sound,
it is satta.
Satta, okay.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's getting better.
Actually, even when I said the written word, because all written words would not come into existence without first through sound. There wouldn't be the word written table if there was not initiated by communication through word.
Mm.
Right? Everything starts from sound.
Except for somebody who can't hear.
No, right. But even in that case, he would call it, even if he reads someone without hearing, he would be able to identify that. Even, but that word originally came from sound.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Because all language starts from sound.
Yes. Yes, it has to.
When I say rice and rose,
rose, rice. Different sounds.
Different sounds. And it brings about the idea of different things.
And it's memory. It's sanya, which knows which one, which memory it is.
All by sanya,
yeah.
And the satapanya is when you can recognize the sound of someone or something, like the bird sound, the dog sound, like that.
No, that is still atta. That is still
atta. That's not satapanya.
No. But the difference, tone of the word, the sound, makes one think about what? Of
the
atta. Yes. Okay, when I say roti, what do you think?
Roti.
See, it depends, see?
Something warm.
I don't think something warm. I think something you eat with dal.
Can I ask? Actually, your name is really Roti or not?
Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
But if I don't know about roti and the other thing, it's just that which is heard. No
right.
idea.
Right.
No atta banjat, only satta banjat.
So satta banjat is what is heard, and atta banjat is read.
Like you learn a new language.
Yes.
I give you a new word, kapada.
Okay.
Kapra. It is saddha panya for you because you know
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes.
But it is meaningless because you can't imagine.
Right. I have nothing. No
association.
To associate it with. Right. Yeah. Okay.
But when you say that and you don't know what it's called, it is atta panya.
That's a good example. That's a good example.
Hindi word.
Yeah, it means clothes or cloths.
Thinking further about that Patimokkha, because that's the pure Patimokkha, and later on, because of Akusala, the different bhikkhus broke different rules, then they had to have more of the other kind of Patimokkha that we know of, those 227 rules, because, you know, Parajika, Sangati Sesa, and so on, because monks behaved improperly, so it just the patimokkha became more and more. But initially, with the arahata, it did not need, because they would always do good. That's their nature at that time.
What is the role of nimitta in this process of the sarapanyat?
Nimitta comes before.
So
yes.
Somehow I remember that nimitta is necessary to come up with shape and form. So I'm trying to make the connection between the direct experience, the nimitta, and then the
is that which appear as not is it. For example, now seeing appears, but not just only one moment. It's the nimitta, the succession of the seeing, and what appears is only the appearance, the succession, not the one, which arise and fall away. Even touching the rupa, which is touched, is not just only one particle or unit at all, but it appears as hard, that which is hard, but many, many rupa arising and falling away. So hardness appear as nimitta, yes, all appear as nimitta. No matter it is vedana feeling, not just a moment, many, many moments in succession, condition that which can appear.
And the nimitta can be of one moment, but it takes many of them.
Right. Mm-hmm. So everything appears as nimitta in one's life, not just one.
Ajahn just used the word particle. Does that mean moment, one particle?
That which cannot be broken at all.
So talking about the rupas, right?
The rupa. And also the nama appears as nimitta. Everything appears as nimitta.
I think what Ajahn means is that you cannot know one rupa, or you cannot know one
citta.
It has to be many.
The succession of those make a nimitta, and that's
right.
That's the only thing that can be known.
But right. Just now, Raina was pointing to the fact that even each one is nimitta, right?
Yes.
Each one.
From one moment of seeing, there's one nimitta, but there's many nimitta that make a panyati. It takes many nimitta to make a panyati.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore also a many nimitta to make to as a basis for shape and form. That's what
Even though the meaning of form, there is also nimitta. Shape is nimitta, form is details. But that we can understand that even that nimitta is actually many nimittas, right, Ajahn? Nimitta and anupriyanchana. That is actually many nimittas.
Sorry, you used another word, I don't know what is it.
Nimitta and anupriyanchana.
Anupriyanchana.
The shape and form.
Oh,
The
following details.
Following details.
That means relating to that. I think when he says, uses the word following, it means that the details of related to that nimitta, right? Yeah.
Can we just say the details? Because the details is also nimitta. In detail.
I was just thinking, perhaps you're not understanding so much when we talk about nimitta. I found what's helpful with the root of that word is ma, so it's a mark.
Okay.
Each experience, say by way of what appears by way of nimitta. There is the original, we can say the original experience, but we only know the nimitta, which is the mark of what has appeared. might be helpful.
Thank you.
Not just one mark.
Yes.
Many
marks. Yes. Yeah, the root in Pali is ma, and I believe that's where we get the English word mark.
But then we are confusing with sanya again, because sanya, we say the function of sanya is ma.
Even sanya itself is nimitta.
It has nimitta. It's on every
not dhamma, only one sanya, many yes, sanyas. Many. So we can say that we live in the world of nimitta.
Could I get some example of nimitta of sanya?
Yes.
Like something when you memorize several times something and then it comes.
Yeah. I think it's hard to say anything about.
Just one word. Just one word is nimitta.
Okay.
But there must be many. 7 javanas. Think about that.
It's hard to say anything about nimitta of sanya, because sanya is marking, and it is marking, and we're thinking with the mark. So it's hard
and
to understand.
It marks
nimitta.
And marks and marks each moment.
And like, it's a little bit like many moments get accumulated in one nimitta, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. When you talk, Heine first mentioned it. So one moment of hearing the sound, and you were saying each one is a nimitta. I know you need a succession to really know.
Just mark how many moments.
One at a time in a succession.
Many moments,
okay.
Including the chavana moment.
Okay.
See, it's there already.
So it's one at a time. In
just
a
one syllable.
And you see, when sanya marks, it marks many moments also. It marks the details
one
also.
One at a time, all together. Makes it.
Sanya is there all the time. So when there's concept, sanya marks also.
Sanya arises with each citta.
So it arises with the object of each citta? As well?
It marks the
yes,
object.
Yes, it marks the object because it's the object of citta. And panyati is often the object of citta.
So how many cittas are there now?
Uncountable.
More than that.
Plus.
Because even when we're thinking uncountable, it's so many.
That's right. It's hard, unimaginable. And as Kaina was saying, this leads to the atapanyat or the sasapanyat that we have been talking about.
So just talk about just one word at a time.
Right. As we turn it into a story.
I understand it's one word at a time, but isn't it more important one reality at a time? Because some words...
Like table.
Even some, see? Mm. How many cittas? Mm. 7 moments of javana, see? And many, many javanas.
So, Jan, I was thinking today the importance of understanding the different hearing about the different chittas in a process, even though it's not being experienced at the time, is to have better understanding about anatta. Because especially since we are liable to take whatever appears as self. So we should know that in between there are so many things that don't appear. And without those things, there cannot be what appears.
No matter.
No,
ma.
No, ma.
No.
No. I understand. No.
No. No. No. No. Most is when we take reality for self.
But what you said was interesting about that. There's so much we can't know.
How about some like meaningless word? Like do we also call it the satta banyati or not?
You mean to say like when you're thinking yeah. I think it can
because it has some meaning.
Sometimes it's just
it has some meaning,
a habitual reaction, but of course at that time you're thinking and you're trying to find what it is, so it's giving a meaning to it.
Sanya marks it already.
Yes.
But is it not Atta Panyat because there's no memory of that sound?
But I think the sound itself can be the Atta Panyat.
Because I notice many Thai people use it when they're speaking with each other. Say, No.
That's different.
In
that case, means right. In that case,
it's
right.
It's still in that world of sounds.
No. It's a different meaning. What he's talking about is a different meaning. What he's saying is when you're wondering, you think, what is
Or it's like the impolite version of yes.
Even
in Thai,
even English speaking people, right?
It's more like
not like Thai people. They just different.
Like when you say crap, in Thai means something different than when you say crap in English, right?
Well, Canadians are known for saying a. That's pretty nice, eh? So for Canadians, that's got a meaning, but other people, it wouldn't.
And we have eh.
Could you give some explanation? I'm not an expert in Thai language. What? Yeah, for Thai people, you know, what is it? It's really tricky, I think. It depends on the context. No, I mean the
situation.
You can also say it when you're really angry. Like it or
doubt.
Mm. Yeah, when you sometimes when you doubt or something. Mm. But
you're just changing the tone. I just said
yes.
Something you have just thought about. Eh?
Start.
For a lot of years, we talk about, and we all say, why do we listen? Why do we study the Dhamma? Pukauchai, in order to understand. Right? And it's becoming clearer that there are times when I realize that, well, the standard answer, and I think the true, you know, sincere thought is, yes, study Dhamma in order to understand. But there are times that I'm becoming more aware of when I think, wait a minute, I was doing that for me. Not for understanding.
Wait for what?
Pardon?
Wait for what?
Wait for what?
Wait for what?
Your expression.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Oh, yeah, me.
I can't remember.
Like it.
Yeah. But.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just realize that there are. I'll suddenly realize that, what I was just thinking about for them. I think I'm studying to understand, and yet sometimes I'm studying for the answers because I want the answers. So I guess that's recognizing moments of
or just thinking, not studying, or just thinking, because you can think because what sound it sounds like is just you're thinking in retrospect, whereas
it's often at the time. Mm-hmm. Often at the time.
I mean, but it's gone, and you're wondering it is, what it was all about.
And you
came to the conclusion that, oh, it was, or maybe you just caught a moment of wanting to know.
Yeah, right? I think it's more like that.
Okay. Yeah, but that happens. That's to be expected.
Yeah.
That's to be expected. But of course, we can see that to understand anything that is part of our life, in daily life, nama and rupa, we have to hear about it.
Mm.
Right.
Many times.
So the interest in studying is logical, means that you don't understand, so you need to hear and read and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So not always it has to be with attachment, not for the sake.
Really?
Oh, right.
Not always. Sometimes you see the value of understanding, because it makes, that's the only way to develop understanding, is to listen and to read and to. So with understanding, you can be reading and discussing, isn't it, Ajahn?
So there's no asava in those moments, no lopa asava.
So in those moments, when you see the value of understanding and the value of studying, there's no loba.
Different moments.
So there are moments when there is no.
I think that's what I was talking about. Maybe the point I was trying to make is that sometimes it is with loba, and other times
it's with what?
It is a sincere.
With what?
With what?
Yeah, with what? When there's no loba, what is there?
Well, that's where I'm heading.
Yeah.
There's no loba.
Yeah,
maybe still ignorance, perhaps still ignorance, probably still ignorance. But at the time of loba, there will be ignorance for sure, you know, but maybe, and I don't know. I mean, it's something I don't know. Maybe a moment of understanding.
See,
could be a moment of understanding.
Let's talk about,
I can't tell the
let's
difference.
Talk about the situation here. You're listening with interest to understand what's
mm-hmm.
being said. So at that moment, is it loka?
I'd say no.
So same thing when you open a book.
I'd say yes.
So what is that? It's not loka. So what is that?
Can be a moment of understanding. Interest with understanding. Like, you see, at that moment, I'm listening to
with loba.
An explanation.
With loba?
Can be.
No, can't be.
Can
understand
be.
With loba.
Can be. It doesn't have to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, but when there's no loba, what chetasika is there that makes you want to listen?
It can be with understanding, seeing the value of.
Is
I mean,
that kusala?
Can be with kusala.
Always can be.
There must be moments of kusala. There must be moments of understanding, intellectual understanding.
At moment of asking a question.
Not asking a question. Like when you're listening with interest to something, knowing the value.
That can be kusala, with understanding.
With understanding, that's what I mean. Yeah. So same thing as when opening a book to read, because you know that this is the teachings, the Buddha's words, there's value in the words.
And that is the understanding.
Right. That's what I'm telling you. So that can be.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time it's attachment, because attachment is still there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it attaches to everything.
Right. And I think when we when we glibly say listen or study to understand, it's not that there are moments of listening with lopa, there are moments of listening with chanta, and sometimes with banya as well, not lopa and chanta, kusala chanta at the same time. But it's another one of these things where you have to, now is the important.
And of course, as Putujanas, we have a lot of attachment. Mm. So not only with paying attention to the words, our mind is to so many things all the time, right? So many things. And in between, we hear, it's almost like we hear less and think more about other things. Mm. And that in that thinking, often there's this then desire to understand. So lopa is there all the time.
Ajahn spoke a lot about here.
Every moment.
Karmasava is always leaking out. It's always seeking an opportunity to take on to something.
Like 99.9999999999% of the time.
Yes. You're talking about me.
I'm not talking about anyone.
The asavas arise unknowingly and instantly for us after moments of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, thinking as well.
But
that's a question.
Sometimes reminds us, suppose for example I'm thinking, oh, there's lots of kilesa. Ajahn reminds, it's more than that. Means that we are trying to work out with from the level of understanding and so much more ignorance that there is, that this is how it is, this is how it is, and we're trying to arrive at a conclusion about things. And if we say, for example, oh, there's a lot of kilesa, it's much more than that. And if we say that, oh, there are moments of understanding, maybe not.
So, excuse me if this is maybe this is something I should know, but I need to hear it from somebody to discuss. Do the asavas arise immediately following thinking?
What for? Thinking about this?
Only to recognize that
here it is lopa.
It's unknown.
It
yeah,
is
here
lopa.
It is lopa big. Yes. Yes. But what about the times we
really
think there isn't any?
It's really hard to understand asava. I'm saying it's really hard to understand asava. We are so
just to learn.
We just hear the word and we're trying to really understand, but it's not.
It's there.
It's there and we don't know. Often we hear a word and we try to figure out what it means, and we is this asava, is that asava?
Beyond the level of intellectual understanding.
I just would end, and we talk about it. Understanding or knowing or experience. I thought, remind me to the Bali word, you say, jya chatu, the three kind of knowing. You can knowing by vinyana, and knowing by sanya, or intellectual. And knowing by panya.
Yes.
There's three kind of that. Maybe remind us of what we are talking about.
So you're saying most of us know by sanya.
Intellectual. When we talk about why thinking.
A lot of time is just repeating words we remember.
Sanya, panya, and what else?
Sanya chitta and vinyana and sanya is like the child, the child who sanya is like the child who sees the gold coins. Vinyana is like the adult who knows that it is gold coins. The sanya, the kid doesn't know it is coins. It's just something glittery, and panya sees the value of those coins.
Is that from a sutta?
Could I ask more about the Banyati? Because I once heard that there are 6 kinds of Banyati, right? Am I wrong or am I right? And what are the other kinds of Banyati? Could anyone give some explanation for me? Or, I don't know. What,
like
or I'm wrong.
Like concept.
It's
concept is a Banyati.
Okay.
Yeah, there are different types. You know, in Ajahn's book, Banyati, like the word panya, are those which things which make known. They make known. So, like we've talked a little bit about Saddha Panyati and Atta Panyati earlier on. There are other types of Panyati too, like Panyati is like Rupa. Rupa is a Panyati, but it represents a reality. But a tree, for example, is also Panyati, but it represents a non-reality. So it's different ideas that are conveyed by Panyati, those which make known. Help
nice.
Us to. They are those which help us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand what's real in this moment and what's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Dhamma we have many different types of Panyatis.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes they're mixed up, and like an example given in Ajahn's book is like the Arahatas, Iti powers, the kings. I'm trying to think some examples, so because sometimes they're together. So we have to think carefully and consider carefully about what Panyatis are real, like Rupa or Nama. They're both Panyati, but they both represent realities and other things which represent non-realities. So it's just, it's important, yeah, they are those, like Panya, they are those which make known. Conventionally speaking, you know, Samutti Satya, and those which make known, Paramatta Satya.
In the last week, I've been having a discussion in the internet with Nina and Sarah. They say that the object of thinking is usually a concept, but not always. I don't agree with that, but they explain that it's not always a concept, because sometimes it's a reality. So I don't understand that, and I also don't agree why the object of thinking is usually a concept but not always.
That's why we have to understand what is thinking.
Are you asking?
Anyone. Yeah. What is thinking? What Chetasika or what is thinking?
Well, I think thinking is basically everything except the pancha
tavara.
Pancha
vinyana.
Right.
Yeah. But when we talk precisely about the reality, whether it is citta or chetasika, what is that? Which things?
It's a chetasika.
What chetasika?
Well, it can be vitaka and
vichara.
But you also have vichara.
And vitaka can experience reality because it can perform the function of sampatthicanna and sandhara from then on. But when it's through 5 senses, we don't think that it's thinking. But through mind or we take it as thinking. And it is vitaka which thinks. So it depends what we are talking about, whether we're talking about the thinking in the mind or process, or the thinking chetasika, the vitaka chetasika. But usually people just talk about thinking as mind or.
I think that's what this discussion is about. So according to in the discussion, I think
you saw it.
No, 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 no. I'm just basing on what you just.
They're talking about thinking through mind-dao only.
Only.
So the mind-dao can experience the object, which is experienced by the sense-dao. After it experienced sense-dao, and then the mind-dao follow, experience the same object, but not the real one.
The nimitta.
But it's like the, what you call?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And would it be that it has to be like that? That before there is thinking about concepts, there has to be mind or that experiences the photocopy of Rupa.
Yeah.
So, but why is
and
that?
Whatever which cannot be experienced through the sense though, can be experienced through mind or the other reality which cannot be experienced through mind through sense though, has to be experienced through mind.
So that object can be realities as well.
Yes. Mm. So mind can experience anything. Nibbana.
Mm-hmm.
But not daily life. When it's daily life, it's the same object as a sense though, because it follows the sense though.
I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit confused about the photocopy moment. Does it really, I mean, is it the...
Can
the
you tell the difference?
Sorry.
Between the object through experience through mind-dao and sense-dao?
Cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot.
And it's not so much, it's not so important how you label it, photocopy or nimitta or sometimes after image or mark. You can use lots of words. These are different concepts, different aspects of paññatti. But there can be the understanding that knows it without thinking in words about it. Paññā can know that reality little by little.
But even if it's not paññā, it has to be like that for even with loka, with anything. That following the sense door, there's the mind door.
That's what's the photocopy.
That's the photocopy.
In it, you can see it in every process of citta, right?
Witti citta.
So it's just the vijñāna knows the object directly, and then the next moment is. It's already mind or process. So that mind or process is a photocopy of the sense object.
But that moment is not yet just a concept, but because it's just come after, really immediately after the sense door.
So, through what door we now?
mind door, I think.
So that's not a concept then, Ajahn. The first moment of
yes, it is.
It is.
It is concept because Ajahn says that if it's not reality, then it must be concept. But it's not concept as in something.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. That's what I mean when it's not the pancha vijñāna, then all the other objects have to be concepts.
So that's also correct, isn't it, Ajahn? If it is not a reality, if
a pancha vijñāna,
the whole process,
not just
the chakkhu vijñāna or something.
Yeah, the whole process.
The whole process.
The whole process. And that has the rupa as object. Whereas once it's the mind door, it's no more a reality, it has to be concept, which is the object. Isn't it? Even at the first moment after the sense door. At the first moment after the vithi citta, at the javana, the first javana has concept as reality.
When it's not reality, it is concept.
So even what we call photocopy is not reality, it's concept.
Yes, that's why we call photocopy.
So the nimitta,
photocopy concept.
Is a nimitta of, the nimitta of
so when
the object is a concept?
So it depends again what you're...
When it's not reality.
But so when is
the reality?
When is the object of thinking a reality then? Never.
A object of thinking, it's not a reality. But it depends again what that discussion is about, because you didn't know about the concept of photocopy before this, right?
No, I didn't.
You did. So you were referring to photocopy.
Yeah, I'm just verifying.
I'm just verifying that the object of
the photocopy is the concept. That's what you're trying to
do. No, I'm verifying that the object of every citta except the five pancha vijñāna, the object of all those cittas has to be a concept.
In the mind door?
Mind door.
Because it's photocopy, not the...
Right, but isn't...
But the mind door can experience anama, like apotado.
Oh,
that's different.
That's different because he's talking about now about
the mind
understanding arises at the mind door, satipatthana. It can go know anything. It can.
No, but you're not talking about satipatthana.
No, he's talking.
He's talking about knowing.
You said that the mind door can only experience concept from the example you mean, but actually it can.
Reality is also,
but
like,
we don't talk about that.
We're not talking about that. That's not the
why we're not talking about that.
I think he's talking about.
Just because I thought your discussion was about the
thinking.
Thinking
only the concept.
Yeah, thinking is only concept. Mm. If it's not thinking and we're talking about satipatthana, then it has reality as concept, because at the moment of satipatthana, anything can be object.
Right.
Feeling can be object. The thinking itself can be object, the citta can be object, the lopa can be object, and those are realities.
But
and that's mind door.
But when there is no satipatthana, the lopa cannot be an object?
That's what you was your argument. You say it cannot be. If it's mind door, it has to be the photocopy of the lopa or the concept of lopa.
So you're saying that But when there is satipatthana and you're knowing lopa, that knowing is not a concept?
That's not a concept.
Or the concept of lopa.
Or it can be the concept of lopa. But it can also be characteristic of lopa, the reality of lopa.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little confused about, that because that's a mind object. In that case, lopa is a mind object. So if you know lopa as a reality, then it's not a concept.
Well, just a minute ago.
What about cohesion?
Cohesion can be known with wisdom. It's not experienced through the body sense, and it can be understood by pandya of a high level.
It's true.
Yeah.
What about the object of the mind door process following a sense door process would be the nimitta of the reality, the object of the sense door process. Yes? The seeing, the seeing sees visual object. So that's the object in the sense door process. It moves on to the mind door process.
It has fallen away.
It has fallen. Mm-hmm. The seeing has fallen away.
And the visible object has fallen away too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. But is not the nimitta what is known in that mind door process, the following mind door process, and it's the nimitta of the reality that has fallen away?
Who can tell the difference now between the sense door and the mind door process?
I certainly know there would be a high degree of panya that would know that.
Even then, mm-hmm. So fast.
Right. So, I'm still confused, Roti, with what you were talking about.
That's right. And confusion is a reality.
yes, it is.
So when you know confusion without the self, that's when it becomes a reality? I mean, not becomes, that's why when it's known as a reality, not as a concept.
When will reality appear as it is?
That means without a self. That's how it is, without a self. Chai Mai Tana Janka.
When will the Nama reality be object?
One thing for sure, one correct answer is no fixed time.
What does that mean?
No fixed time, it can happen anytime, but by conditions. So your question, Achan, is when? Do you mean?
Nama is the object.
When the conditions are right, isn't that the correct answer?
When?
When a nama is the
object
of reality of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. When?
When there's satipatthana. But of course, the wisdom does not know, is not at the level of vipassana, that knows the difference between nama and rupa. But it has to start with knowing the characteristic of nama.
But
and
this
rupa.
Satipatthana is not the moment of vipassana.
No, it
yet.
Is not. No.
This is the difference.
The
nama, which is the object of satipatthana, is not that level of vipassana jnana.
And the answer is that because right now sense door covers up mind door, and but at that time the mind door appears.
By then, no doubt about mind door at all. But now nobody can tell which moment is sense door and mind door.
The exchange you were having with Sarah and Nina about whether realities can be objects in a mind door process.
They're always concepts.
So can we say that mind door process is thinking? Can we use the word thinking for mind door process?
So it depends on what you mean by thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because what the phrase that Nina wrote was that the object of thinking is usually a concept. So I wrote to Nina and I asked her, why do you say usually and not always? That's how the discussion start, right? Yeah.
But can we say that the moment of satipatthana, it has vitakka and a very important factor. So that is also thinking. Can we say that? Because it has vitakka.
So what is meant by thinking?
Again, this was your original answer. It depends on what we mean by thinking. Is it just moments when there is vitakka as against when there is no vitakka? Or do we mean mind door when concept is the object? So it depends. If we are saying when we refer to moments when concept is the object, then of course satipatthana is not thinking. But if we say when vitakka is there, then at satipatthana there's vitakka also.
Vitakka can arise through the six awareness.
And we sometimes call vitakka a factor of the Eightfold Path as right thinking. Is that correct?
Seeing, is there thinking?
After seeing, you mean santirana, sampatichana,
yes.
Okay, there's no
yes.
thinking.
There's vitakka there.
There's
yes.
vitakka.
Yeah.
So we have to understand the function and the characteristic of vitakka as it is.
I think we can say that there is a touching of the object.
Mm-hmm.
So right thinking is not the right word for...
Not the right
not
word
that,
at all.
Not in that word as we understand it. It's sometimes translated as right application. But it doesn't really matter what word you use. It's the important thing is to understand what that word means. You know. So and even if we say, oh, it means touching the object, you can still have a wrong understanding of what that means. So it's important to have the correct understanding. I think it becomes clearer, though, that as Ajahn has pointed out, that after Panchavanyan has fallen away with Sampaticchana, there is vitakka, there is a kind of what we might call touching of the object. And how we understand that will depend upon our level of understanding.
Like what we're thinking about.
touch.
Touch.
Touch. See?
Even the word touch, we have to understand.
Yeah,
what it means.
You have to explain it.
It's very hard to explain, but I remember.
Achan just said we're all very more.
We're very more. I remember in Poland, way back, you were talking about pasa and witaka. And you referred to pasa, contact, as just and touching, and witaka as more.
So, not just pasa to be effective for the Eightfold Path, it has to be the vitaka. And it's not thinking.
It's not thinking.
It's touch.
It's what, but
in which moment does vitaka becomes a factor? Becomes a factor for the
sammasankappa.
Yeah, but what happens to the vitaka in order to become a factor for enlightenment?
After seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching without vitaka, it can experience the same object as the five objects. It needs vitaka.
Yes, but Ajahn is saying that sama sankapa
is what cetasika, vitaka cetasika.
But in which moment does it become sama?
With panya, touch with panya.
Oh, okay.
Always with panya when it is maka.
And it's the chavana, not the sampatichana. Right?
From then on, from sampatichana. Except the ten, that's all.
But there is vitaka with sampatichana.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But that's not sama sankappa.
No. No. So the ordinary everyday thinking, when it is not sama,
Ordinary everyday thinking is already pretty vague.
Yes,
term.
Exactly.
The thing is that there is vitaka always except the five pancha vijnana and some jhana.
The second one.
And it always means touching.
Always.
So we call it thinking. Why?
Through mind door.
It's through the mind because the mind door.
Because of bigger body, or somebody like that.
Because of what?
Because some translator.
No. I think because Achan, because it plays a very important part in the thinking, right? Vitaka.
Without vitaka, can there be such moments?
No.
And also vichara?
They arise together.
But we know that there can be thinking as in the levels of jhana when vichara is first not there. There's only vitaka.
It's
still thinking. No. First vichara has to go, then vitaka.
No.
The other way around.
Vitaka
and then vichara.
Oh, really? Ah.
There can be vichara without vitaka.
There can be vichara without vitaka. Ah.
Sorry, we call vichara also touching or no?
Vichara means more of a holding.
Holding.
Yeah.
So vitaka touches and
vichara
holds.
When we talk about the vitaka thinking, with memory, you remember? We talk about vijnana, sanya, and the panya. But we'd be thinking always with memory or sanya. They're like a concept or story. But when satipatthana or get panya with vitaka, that was the memory mark in the reality.
But there can be different levels of panya. And there's panya even at the level of pariyati. So, what do you say?
Conceptual. Like a pariyati. We talk about Tira Sanya. Tira Sanya.
What is Tira Sanya? Tira Sanya.
What is this?
Firm.
Another word for vichara is sometimes called sustained thinking. So we've got initial thinking and sustained thinking. But again, it's coming back to understanding the reality of the present moment. The labeling can be helpful, but it's not what the path is all about. And it's important to get that understood correctly. The words are helpful, but they're not vital. Yeah, they sometimes can get in the way, but they're useful. We need language, you know, like we were talking about concepts before. We always need to hear the Dhamma and consider it carefully, like Sariputta, when he heard those words, you know, ye Dhamma, he tupa, pawa, and he became Sotapanna. So that was the catalyst for him, with his accumulated panya from past lives, that he understood what asaji meant. And it's actually just, I was thinking about it recently, that he always, Sariputta, always, every day, he paid respect to asaji, because he heard those words.
So you can see that the words are also important.
Mm.
I mean, if Asaji said, the apple grows on a tree, it would be meaningless. So the words are also important. The problem is, mostly it's thought about without understanding,
mm-hmm.
and often with ignorance and attachment.
And surely because he went away quickly to share it with his friend, Kulita. Yeah, and he understood. But when he went to share with his teacher, Sanjaya, Balyataputta, he wasn't interested. He thought he just wasn't interested. So it's going to depend upon when some people hear those words, and I've read them many times and thought, how did he do that? But because there is not the right conditions yet for us, we have to continue attending wisely to what is heard.
And what you're reminding us is that it's not the question of hearing the word again and again, but to attend to the reality.
Yeah. But
and whatever reality, no one chooses, and all realities, not just, suppose somebody got enlightened to Buddha's words about seeing being impermanent. It doesn't mean we try to understand seeing, but actually anything that appears now.
True.
So that's why accumulation is so important.
Pakatupanisya.
Like yesterday in Facebook, I post a picture of something that Jonathan wrote, that it talks about things like there's no self, and things like there are no things, no persons, and. And I posted because I thought it was so interesting. But then today when I woke up today and I saw the post in Facebook, then I thought about all my friends that I have in Facebook. Many of them will think that I'm just crazy. That I'm crazy because when they read things like there's no things, no people, when they will read that, they will think that I'm, you know, like I'm
But if one amongst those had the accumulations, they'll probably write back to you and ask, hey, what was that you talking about?
It's true. There were a few were very surprised and like it.
Yeah, and that's why the Buddha, he knew when to speak to the right person. He didn't waste his time with some people because he knew that they wouldn't understand what he was talking about, so he was very, very careful. Well, he was careful. I always think of the Upali Sutta, where the Buddha sort of systematically dismantled the Nigantha's belief about dandani or kamma, But he was doing that to help this other fellow who became enlightened, who did understand. You know, so sometimes he would go in sort of a back room method or a back door method, because he knew that the fellow who came to see him wouldn't understand it, but he knew that that fellow, when he went back to see the Buddha, to see his teacher, his name was Nigantha Nataputta, he would relay back to him, and then Upali would become very interested in wanting to understand, or he wanted to discount the Buddha, but he went back and he listened to the Buddha and he thought, this is what you mean. But the Buddha didn't go into those details with the other fellow. It's very, very interesting sutta where, yeah, the Buddha, because the Niganthas literally mean, Nigantha means they believe they're without Guntha. Guntha is a bond, a knot. They call themselves those without bonds. But the Buddha, but that was what they called themselves, Niganthas. But they, of course, did have many, many bonds. They were thick with bonds. Their bonds were very strong. The Buddha, yeah, they were. In the Buddha's time, there are these different teachers. And one of the different teachers was called Nigantha Nataputta. Nigantha means no bonds. Nigantha. Gantha is a...
No bonds?
No bond, or like a connection. Oh. A bond is like a...
Yeah.
You know,
not like no attachment.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. They said they weren't attached to anything.
Right.
But the Buddha knew that was nonsense. But he didn't tell that to them. But he knew when to speak to some of the disciples of Nigantha, or one of the disciples in particular, and he shared with them some many very graphic examples, telling him why it's the mind that's most important, not what we do physically. And he graphically sort of undercut the Nigantha philosophy. Upali, that's when because I was reading that word recently, Nasajan, because it comes from the Pali word acharyam. Acharyam, which means wonderful. He knew straight away. Acharyam, he said, he knew this, of course, is the truth. He knew that when the Buddha spoke to him. And he became a follower of the Buddha.
Acharyam, I'm thinking the Dhamma is the greatest protection.
Mm. Yes, it is Araka Kojra.
Acharyam. Nasajan.
So it's a protection in the form of accumulation, right, Achan?
From evil.
Yeah, but it's in the form of accumulation. It's like when you hear a Dhamma word and right?
But also what I'm pointing to is that without the Dhamma, your accumulations are not going to help you.
No.
I mean, you have to hear the Dhamma.
So, yeah, but without without the accumulations, you cannot listen.
You cannot understand. But
yeah.
Also, the other aspect is that without hearing the Dhamma, there's no way.
There's no way
to activate the accumulations.
There's no way for the accumulations to
get stronger. That's true.
No, not only to get stronger, but to get activated.
Activated.
Yeah. Accumulated enough to understand now. So we understand what's meant by accumulation. Without it, without hearing, without priyati, no conditions for patipatti.
I've said this so many times, and the more one hears and the more one thinks one understands, the more one knows that one doesn't really understand a lot yet, and there is much more to understand.
And I think that's that's wisdom, to know that, you know, that to know how little we know, and there's a long way to go. That's wisdom.
So to think that you know a lot is not wisdom.
Sorry, could I get back to the? No, I mean the. Well, you might have. Answered already the question, but I couldn't catch up. Can the nama be an object of thinking with akusala chetasikas, I mean akusala thinking, can the nama as a reality be an object?
All the time. Feeling.
Like for example, yeah, feeling like vetana. Okay.
Can seeing be the object?
Yes, can.
So can thinking?
Can. All right. Thank you very much.
What can be object of right understanding now?
Anything. I mean, yes, anything. Which is reality.
No selection.
No selections. We can never select any Dhamma to be an object.
Rupa and Nama.
Yeah, both Rupa and Nama.
Kusala and Akusala.
Because when we select, we contradict the Dhamma, we go against the Dhamma. It's not understanding, it's wrong understanding.
Can you say more?
Okay, when we say, when I said we contradict Dhamma, when we think we can select, because we have this idea that there's a self who can do this or that, can develop understanding if they do this or if they do that. So it's about learning to understand the reality which appears, not directing understanding to this or that object, because they're all conditioned. And they depend upon the accumulations of panya to slowly begin to understand those realities, which takes, you know, a lot of patience and careful attending over many lifetimes, in this lifetime in the past, to help develop the sadhā to begin to more appreciate what the right path is. That takes time. And the more we have the idea that there's a self who can direct it, that will get in the way, that will hinder, that will obfuscate the path for us in a very subtle way. But sometimes for a wise person, when they're looking on, they'll see that's very damaging.
You say that will get in the path, in the way, like in the future, but it's already there.
Yes.
It's already blocking the path.
Totally.
Right? That's exactly what is blocking the path, the idea that one can do something. Mm.
It's very subtle and it's very insidious. It's so insidious.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very hidden. But because ditti is a very bad habit that hides away, and the person who's developing understanding is in the wrong way can easily be tricked by that ditti. It's very easy to be deceived by that, and you can have all these other people around you.
We are deceived by that.
Yes, we are, but I'm saying that we can have many unhelpful friends.
Yes.
who will collude.
Oh, yes.
With our misunderstanding.
Yes. Yes.
About Dhamma. And so it will get greater, and then we'll be attracted to those people. So it accumulates. Wrong understanding is very dangerous in that sense, because it goes from bad to worse over lifetimes. And we don't notice it because it seems like it's right.
Yes. But it still comes down to, as Roti is pointing out, that it's wrong when it's there.
Right.
It's wrong.
It is
the wrong path when it's there. Not that it can lead to the wrong. Not something that you think in terms of the future. What ditti can in the future is bad for the future, but it's there already. It's already arisen, and it's now. Yeah. And we can see that although ignorance darkens, we can see that the wrong path is actually taking one away always from the possibility of understanding now, because now has already arisen and it's gone. So the idea of catching another moment is missing the point, because now has already arisen by conditions and fallen away.
I can see that my father accumulates akusala upanisaya, something like that, the akusala accumulation, by thinking that when he heard or read the social media about the Muslim that attacks Buddhism, he hates Muslim. And even I explained him that when you hate the Muslim, that's the bad hatred, something like that. That is not kusala.
And it's very dangerous, any type of thinking like that, because eventually can lead to you saying and doing very bad things.
Right, so and his face expresses so bad. Yeah.
That's right. So we can see the danger of a kusala at that level, and how unfortunate that is, and how dangerous sometimes social media can be. And it tells us about what bad friends can do to us. If we're not with the wise friend, we so easily can be captured by that kind of nonsense.
Chan, is there any difference between being identifying yourself as a Buddhist and being attached to the idea of being a Buddhist, or being attached to your own family? It's the same, isn't it? Some people will get angry that people of other religions are attacking your religion. Some people, they don't think about that, but they are afraid that somebody is doing something to my son, to my wife. It's the same thing, isn't it?
And for most of the time, they forgot considering whether the news is fake or not as well, because it comes always with money, right?
No, I think the laser is just looking for an excuse.
Yes.
And because we have the self, then, and it's a fear that happening, right? When someone attacks us, or me, or I, or my family, that's a fear.
Yeah, I think the more we can appreciate the great value of the Dhamma, and how, as we talked about to some extent today and some extent last week, about developing upanisya gochara, which can lead on to protection, to lead on to being even stronger, the less inclined we will be, and certainly in this life, to do that. But there are the unfortunate accumulations of ditti that are there still. And so, in following lives, we are vulnerable, and we see the great advantage of Dhamma to keep developing patiently, so that one day there will be less and less akusala and more understanding, which it takes time. But samsara is dangerous. Samsara is dangerous.
Acharya, would it be correct to conclude that our biggest responsibility is to have right understanding? Otherwise, we're just not helping ourselves and not helping other people.
So what's the best thing?
Right understanding.
Are you Buddhist? Who is Buddhist?
It is right understanding.
Mm-hmm. Buddhist is not people, nor country, nor...
And perhaps that's a good example of what we were talking about earlier on. You asked about, concepts and realities and panyati. A Buddhist is just a panyati. It's just a concept, it's just an idea. It's just thinking about a non-reality, really. There's no such reality as Buddhist. It's just an idea. So the more we can understand what's real and what's not real...
But we can use the word to point to Panya also.
Right.
Since we are using the word already, so we can always use it in a fruitful way to point to the reality of understanding, because that's the only way to counter the wrong understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to call yourself a Buddhist, then it has to be right understanding that qualifies for being a Buddhist.
It's true, but we know mostly that people who identify themselves as Buddhists, it's really just a story. and there is not much understanding, if any, of the realities that really the Dhamma is comprised of. So people may say they're a Buddhist, but ultimately it'll just be a word, a meaningless word. And the more the understanding can develop, that will give it meaning, will give the Dhamma meaning. Without that understanding, it's just almost useless.
So, is Thailand a Buddhist country?
No, Thailand is not real, so in that context, there's no Buddhist or no Buddhist Thailand. But if you're asking, is there right understanding amongst people we meet every day, I think very few. And it's hard. The Dhamma is hard to find.
It's so subtle.
But still, when Achan says, is Thailand a Buddhist country, I still think that there is, you can see a difference you can see a difference when it's a
what
Buddhist.
What is it that you're seeing? See, the thing is that a lot of people appreciate, Thailand is a country where people are smiling all the time and happy-go-lucky and, you know, things like that. And they say, oh, it must be the influence of Buddhism. But they don't have any clue about Buddhism. So what you're seeing is the same way as they're seeing, but it still comes down to, you know, whether there's understanding through discussions, and you have to have more understanding.
I agree and I don't agree, because I think there is something special about Thailand. I do think the Dhamma has got deep roots here, and I do feel that those roots show in some ways, like Khun
Wati. You mean to say someone who was born in 1965.
I know what you're going
in
to say.
In Thailand, and he's developed a habit same as other people around him. It's because he has some understanding.
Some understanding, but there's a certain attitude.
But he doesn't have any understanding.
So can we say that Thailand is wrong Buddhist?
If I were
country?
To choose, I'd say. It's wrong.
Because true
especially,
Buddhist...
Especially since Sundara and Roti are getting the impression that it is what it is because of Buddhism. It's very misleading.
Sounds like we can say that Thailand is a country where the true meaning of Buddhism is totally misunderstood.
All over the world, not only Thailand.
Right, but I think Thailand falls into that category as well. And maybe it's worse because people think they're good Buddhists.
Yeah, because as Achan would remind us, the religion is not destroyed through other people, other forces, but within the Buddhist community. I mean, it is people who misunderstand and consider them Buddhists who can destroy the religion. It's wrong understanding that destroys religion.
Well, I still feel more comfortable living in a country.
Yes,
that
you all are comfortable.
living in a country that wrongly understands Buddhism.
No, I don't know that. I know, but I like
that. Living in
I'm
another
very
kind.
Attached to Thailand, but not because it's Buddhist.
But the influence is there. There's some kind of
there's
influence.
There's more bad influence than good influence. Look at the whats. You don't see. What does it remind you of? The whats.
But I still prefer a what than a Christian temple where they're full of rules.
And I'm just saying that those whats are destroying the religion. The Christian are not destroying the religion.
Oh, they may be true. Not them. They aren't destroying Buddhism, but they're doing a good job of their own.
Yeah, they're destroying their religion, I agree, but they're still, you can see the Kusala effects of the Buddha's words in the society in general.
Like other countries.
Like
other countries.
Like Which country?
India. You look at India.
Okay.
Well,
Christian India. Country.
Christian countries. Yeah.
What in those countries?
Generosity.
Nice people, nice people,
mm-hmm.
everywhere.